Welcome to the December 1st, 2022 meeting of the New Jersey Highlands Council. Call to order and roll call.
Kurt Alstead.
Here.
Tim Daugherty.
Here.
Michael Dressler. Michael Francis.
Here.
Robert Holtaway.
Here.
Bruce James.
Here.
Carl Richko.
Here.
Member Sevetich.
Here.
Dan Van Ems.
Here.
James Vizioli.
Here.
Richard Bowden.
Here.
The Open Public Meetings Statement. Yep.
This meeting is being held in accordance with the Open Public Meetings Act. The Highlands Council sent written notice of the time, date, and method of participation in this meeting to newspapers of circulation throughout the state and posted notice on the Highlands Council website. This meeting is being conducted at the Highlands Council office located at 100 North Road, Chester, New Jersey. Participants may provide comments during the meeting or by emailing them to the Highlands Council prior to or following the meeting up to the close of business on Friday, December 2nd, 2022.
Thank you. Mike Dressler, are you on the phone?
I'm here.
Okay,
thank you. Please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
For the chair's report, I have one item today, but I'm going to hold that off till it has to do with the Affordable Housing Committee. I'm going to hold that off till after we have the affordable housing presentation. So we'll move on to the executive director's report. Ben?
Thank you, Paul. Right, so even though we didn't meet last month, we were very busy here at the Highlands Council. So just to update you on some of the things that I brought to your attention at the October meeting, I want to start out by letting you know that the issue with the staff salaries and the title conversions has moved along very, very rapidly in the last month. Gabrielle and Ranji from our office and Jeff Nielsen from the governor's office were very, very helpful in making sure that we move this forward. There are still five of the staff members who have to have their titles approved, and they're still waiting for the approval from the Civil Service Commission, but everyone else has been signed off on, which is a real positive, and the staff deserves it. Again, thank you to Ranji, Gabrielle, and Jeff. On the staff, we have currently three staff openings, a GIS technician, a staff scientist, and Cindy, our receptionist, resigned effective yesterday. She had health issues, and yesterday was her effective date. So we've interviewed for the GIS position and identified a candidate to make an offer to. We had three really good candidates that came forward. We've identified three candidates for the scientist position. We're going to set up interviews for them, and then we're waiting for the go-ahead from the governor's office to advertise the receptionist position. The Highlands Council had a presence at the League of Municipalities convention down in Atlantic City. We had the booth staff for all 3 days. We made a lot of good contacts. Saw the council members, some of your council members down in Atlantic City. It was good to see you there. We made some very good contacts with our municipal representatives who stopped by the booth. Some of them began a little bit hostily towards us, but we're happy by the end of our conversation. And some people were there who were happy with the work that we had been doing. But it was well worth it. Thank you to Carol for being down there all week, and thank you for the members of the staff. Just so you understand what it meant was. Waking up at 5:30 in the morning, driving down to Atlantic City, standing around talking to people all day, and then getting in their cars and driving home and getting home after 7 o'clock. Long day, not a lot of fun, but I do appreciate everyone coming down to make sure that we were appropriately represented at the convention. It was important for us to be there. Before I move on, there's one more internal staff issue, and that is to congratulate our planner, Allison Bittner, who passed her AICP, her exam in town service. It's a great achievement. Getting into some of the substantive things that we were covering, you know, we had a you know, we're working on climate issues as part of the governor's initiative, but also part of responsibly planning the Highlands for the future. We were able to meet with the state climatologist here, came up to talk about data collection and some of the things that we can do to try to track what the impacts of climate change are on the Highlands region. One of the things we are going to do is to have a weather station here, either on the township side of the property or on the Chester Borough side of the property, because this is a gap in their data collection network, and they're going to set a full-scale climate station up here at the Highlands. We also were able to meet with the Rutgers climate people, with Jean Herb and her staff, and set up a process for us to start to incorporate not just the data that they collect, but to turn it into some very real policies that we're going to promote here at the Highlands going forward. When we last met, we were about to meet with the iBank about getting funding for Highlands municipalities to implement some of the projects that we came up with: stormwater projects, green infrastructure, sewer plant renovations, those types of things, big money projects that we identify through our work with our towns, but we have no way of funding once we identify what has to be done. The iBank has a substantial amount of money available. We had discussed making a program specifically tailored to Highlands municipalities available. They were amenable to doing that, but one of the things we're going to need to do is for the proof of concept to come up with some candidate projects so we can demonstrate that it works. So we're going to be looking over the next month or so for towns that we've worked with in the past to identify key projects that would fall into each of the categories that the iBank will fund. And hopefully we'll be able to come up with a project that will bring real value to the Highlands municipalities that we're dealing with. On the economic sustainability plan, we met with Jeff Vassar from the State Tourism Office and are going to work with him on doing some branding and marketing for Highlands destinations. Jeff Everett from the Rutgers Agricultural Station came up ostensibly to talk about agricultural policy, but that leads right into economic sustainability because of the role that agriculture plays in the Highlands economy. And we talked in depth about some of the agricultural viability issues that Highlands farmers are facing, and to come up with some strategies on how to move that forward. And we're going to prepare to issue our RFP for our marketing and branding program probably early next year, right? One of the big issues that again is I think we need to pay attention to, and if you look in your package, you'll see a letter that we prepared going out to Highlands municipalities regarding the warehousing issue. It's a problem in the Highlands. Not so much that a warehouse in and of itself is a problem. There are probably a number of locations within the Highlands that are okay for a warehouse to go with, particularly since we're crossed by three major interstate highways. Our issue is when warehousing is inappropriately located, when it eats up prime agricultural soils, when it's located on a site where there are going to be off-site impacts to the resources of the Highlands, to where it's going to put stress on the infrastructure. And so we've made a $5,000 grant available to any Highlands municipality that would like to evaluate its zoning to see if they are vulnerable to inappropriately sited projects, and for them to be able to evaluate the impacts on the resources, on traffic, and on whether or not it's going to strain their existing infrastructure. One of the other things that we talked about was getting money into the Highlands so that we can reinvigorate our open space program. We were in discussions when last we talked with both the SADC and with Green Acres to try to secure a modest amount of funding that would come to us so that we could get back involved in doing land preservation projects and to reinvigorate our TDR program to the extent that we can through the direct purchase of credits. We're still really nowhere with that. But it is important because we can match every dollar that comes in and put that money to good use. And we can also capture properties that are not within the four corners of either the SADC program or the Green Acres program. So those, I don't want to use a term that sounds bad, but they're orphan properties. They don't fit into the existing programs, yet they're worthy of preservation, and we need the resources available to be able to bring them and to compensate the landowners. And if we are able to get that influx of cash for the CBT, not only will we double that money by being able to match it, but we'll be able to address a lot of these longstanding issues with some of these property owners. And I would, if possible, I would like the council to consider passing a resolution where we directly request having that CBT funding allocated to us.
Just to interrupt you there, we discussed this, and we think that any kind of resolution that comes before the council should go through a committee, and we think that the Plan Conformance Committee, next time they meet, will be addressing this. I think that's the best way to go, and then we'll bring it to the full council.
The forest stewardship issue, we're moving forward with that to put together a set of Highland-specific forestry best management practices. We've met with the State Forest Service. We've got stakeholder meetings coming up in the coming week. We're going to meet with the Pinelands, who does have a forest management plan in place, and try to learn from the practices that they've put in, try to adapt them to the Highland-specific conditions that we're facing. But mostly we want to have forest management practices in place that support the mission of the Highlands, right? That have the protection of the water resources and protection of the natural resources of the Highlands at its core, and that speak specifically to the unique conditions that you'll find here in our region that are different from other parts of the state. And I think it's our responsibility to be the fair and neutral arbiters of what appropriate practices are. And we need to set the standard, right? We need to set it based upon science. We need to set it based upon what our mission is as an agency. And we need to be credible in what we do. And that's what we're striving to do. And we're moving that forward. The last thing that I'll bring up here is we're going to have a presentation today from James on affordable housing. And to steal his line, if you were to ask us what our policy is towards Round 4 affordable housing, the affordable housing obligation, the answer to that is we don't have one. And I think that's a bad place for us to be in right now. Fortunately, we have time until 2025 to address this. But we need to come up with a set of policies so that we can assist Highlands municipalities in planning for and meeting their obligation, but also to ensure that our voice is heard when the fourth round obligations are assigned. They have to be based, again, going back, based upon the very real environmental constraints that are present within the Highlands, looking at the policies and goals of the regional master plan, including the policies and goals that specifically speak to affordable housing. And I think what you're going to see from James's presentation is that there was a very real detriment to the state and to the Highlands region as a whole because we were absent from that discussion during the round three settlements. If you just look at right, the build out for the municipalities needed to play a role in determining the obligations, our policies and goals that tell you about where affordable housing should be sited, how it should be designed, not merely the number of units that need to be built. Right, it goes to the whole spectrum of how we provide affordable housing opportunities within the region, and to make sure that it's responsible for the long term, that it doesn't undermine the other goals and aims of the regional master plan, and that it actually gets affordable units built somewhere within the Highlands, right? Instead of just being a theoretical number that goes up, we want to do the right thing. We want to make sure that it's compatible with the long-term sustainability of the region as a whole. And again, you're just going to, when you look at what the determined build-out for the entire region was, and then you compare it to the number of units that were contained in those settlements, you're going to see that there was a real disconnect between the settlements that were reached and the underlying science about how this should have been planned out and what the results should have been, and you're going to see that they're not even close. And it would be irresponsible for us not to weigh in on this going forward, even though it's going to be a difficult subject to take on. We need to do it. We can't shy away from it. We need to do it the right way. So that's it. So he said, you can see the activity is in the executive director's report. Again, the work that we've been doing, the work that the staff has been engaged in, goes far beyond the few items that I brought up here today. They've been working extremely hard, but we're making, it's been a very busy month, but a very productive month.
Thank you, Ben. Do any council members have any comments or questions for our executive director on his report?
I have a question. Ben, I appreciate that you're going to be doing the work on reviewing forestry management practices in the region, and I know it's a sticky subject because forestry management is specifically, exempted as a controlled practice in the Highlands region, yet, and throughout the Act and throughout our regional master plan, we're charged with resource management responsibilities and goals and objectives, and I was just looking to see what we had for wildlife, because one of the things that struck me was this delicate balance between forest habitat and wildlife population, and desiring to maintain habitat, yet when we have overpopulation of different species, it's destroying habitat. If you look at how much forest vegetation is comprised of rhododendron now, well, there's very little, even though it's a native plant species, and it should be all over the growing everywhere in the understory of the forest, the deer are destroying it, right? It's nothing. I was down in Carolinas a few weeks ago, and rhododendrons are everywhere because they don't have the deer overpopulation we have here. So I wonder if there's a component of wildlife population and habitat that we need to incorporate as part of this forestry review, because even in light of the bears, the governor's just reauthorized a bear hunt, and the Fish and Game Council has gone through the science to determine that that's needed to control the population, and now there's a stay, and I'm not here to advocate for or against bear hunt today, for or against deer, and what the right population is, but I think we've never really touched on that in all my tenure here on Highlands, and I wonder if we're going to engage in this forestry work, if we should also, as a component, really be looking at what do we need to do in forests to maintain forests, but also how wildlife interacts with it.
Right, and it's a good question, Craig. I'm not a forester, but every professional that you talk about when you talk about reforesting or keeping the forest healthy, talks about the overpopulation of deer in the region, and there's no way that you're going to be able to regenerate the forest in places where it's been degraded without getting involved in some kind, whether it's population control or whether it's exclusion through fencing, but there's going to have to be something put in place. It's just the reality of the conditions that we're facing, and it's come up before, and I'm sure it's going to come up again as we move down. But I think it's going to have to be a part of whatever recommendations that we make.
Thank you. Thank you, Chair.
Any other council members have any questions or comments for our executive director? All right, seeing none. Thank you, Ben. We will move on to the approval of the Highlands Council minutes of October 20th, 2022. Need a motion and a second?
I'll move it.
Moved by Council Member James, seconded by Council Member Daugherty. Any discussion? Hearing none, please poll.
Councilmember Alston.
Yes.
Councilmember Daugherty.
Yes.
Councilmember Dressler.
Yes.
Councilmember Francis.
Yes.
Councilmember Haltaway.
Aye.
Councilmember James.
Yes.
Councilmember Sevetich.
Yeah.
Councilmember Van Ams.
Yes.
Councilmember Vizioli.
Yes.
Councilmember Bowden.
Yes.
Chairman Richko.
Yes.
Minutes passed.
Okay, we have now the affordable housing presentation. So, Ben, I will turn this over to you so you can introduce the staff members that will participate in this.
Sure. You all know our Director of Science and Planning, James Humphreys. He's been here as long as most of you. Kurt's the exception. I touched on this a little bit in my report, but I think it's important for us to understand the role the Highlands needs to play in planning out the next round of affordable housing obligations that comes up in 2025. James has been doing some data collection. They were actually, the Highlands Council was preparing to weigh in on the affordable housing litigation during round three to be heard and to put our stamp on how it affected the 88 municipalities of the Highlands, and we were set to the sidelines during that time. And again, you're going to see from some of the data that James has developed that I think it was really to the detriment of the long-term health of the Highlands and didn't really move the ball forward when it comes to affordable housing policy either. So it really didn't accomplish anything other than to put the towns of the Highlands into a tough position where they were each, instead of being assessed as a region, instead of being assessed as how they fit in with the regional master plan and the greater goals that led to the Highlands Act being passed in the first place, they were split into 88 individual cases and then settled up based upon not so much that it was the right thing for their community, but to get the litigation off of their backs. And that's not the appropriate way to plan the state as a whole, firstly. But also, it's not the right way to plan a region that's been legislatively determined to be so important to the health of the rest of the state. Right? The role that we play in providing drinking water and all the other resources that we provide for the rest of New Jersey can't be inappropriately impacted by a single issue. We have to put a balance to all of this and make sure that everything fits together and works. And to that end, we need to be able to start to do our homework now so that when 2025 rolls around, we're going to be able to provide appropriate and adequate advice to our 88 municipalities and to be a player in the decision-making when those eventual resolutions are made. So, James, why don't
you
take it from there?
So, for those on the phone, I'm starting with the where are we today with affordable housing slide. So you're all aware of the roller coaster ride that was the third round of affordable housing from Gross Share, ultimately going to the New Jersey Supreme Court, and then they deciding that the courts would handle all of the affordable housing and co-effectively being dissolved. Well, that third round is already coming to an end with the fourth round starting in 2025. And as Ben said, we really need to be more proactive in our approach to the fourth round to see how we might assist municipalities. So just for some background and to show why we need to be more proactive, in the third round, 67 of our 88 municipalities adopted housing elements or entered into settlement agreements. Of those towns, the total obligation of affordable units is over 16,000. When you look back at the build-out analysis we did to see what the region can handle, we came up with 8,300 units total. So the obligation that was approved in all these settlement agreements is over double what we estimated to be supportable for the region. And that's just for the third round. We're going into an entirely new round with an entirely new number of obligations that are as yet unknown. So moving to the next slide. So based on that, what authority and what role does the council play? So the RMP, that the Highlands Act specifically states that the RMP should be taken into consideration prior to making any determination of the fair share obligation of a municipality in the region. The RMP states that municipalities must update and adopt a housing element and fair share plan to reflect current conditions and resource protection requirements. Now, moving on, in 2008, there were some amendments to the Fair Housing Act that recognized the Highlands Council. And it specifically stated that regional planning entities are appropriately positioned to take a broader role in the planning of affordable housing. And it also set forth the possibility that the Highlands Council could implement a program whereby affordable housing obligations could be transferred within the region. Finally, Executive Order 114 recognized that because of the scarcity of land, water, and sewer resources in the region, that those should be prioritized toward affordable housing so that affordable housing can be developed in the region. So moving on to the next slide. So what did we do to date? We have principally been focused on planning and technical assistance with towns. So we provided build-out analysis for all 88 municipalities that they could use to support vacant land analysis and durational adjustments. We provided planning grants and technical support so they can prepare housing elements and fair share plans. But that's pretty much all we did. We directed grant funding towards them and provided technical assistance. We never weighed into any of the actual litigation, any of the lawsuits, any of the preparation of the housing plans. And in 2018, when the council approved the MPRR, that was recognized. It was recognized that the Fair Housing Act contained authority for the Highlands Council to do more, and that one of the first steps they should take is to look at adopting an affordable housing technical report that would really look at that authority and see where we could assist and where we could make sure that future affordable housing plans in the region are designed to fit within the environmental resources of the region. So, moving on to the next slide. So what are our next steps? The next steps are recommended that we create an affordable housing technical report that would look at the fourth round obligations and try and come up with obligations that would be consistent with the Highlands Act and the RMP. We could potentially develop a program to permit the voluntary transfer of affordable housing obligations in the region. We could review the potential limitations on affordable housing related to water and wastewater capacities, including as directed by Executive Order 114, and how we might prioritize those resources for affordable housing. And finally, we want to analyze the impact on all of this on our overburdened communities in the region. Now, this time frame, although it's 2025, it's almost 2023 in less than a month, and it will take a while to develop these plans, so we really need to get going, which is why the chairperson is appointing people to the Affordable Housing Committee so we can move forward on this. So in summary, the Highlands towns are already slated for more development than we estimate they can handle. Now, we're moving into the fourth round, as we stated, where more development's going to be proposed. And we want to take a broader role so we can ensure that that affordable housing fits in with the Highlands resources and considers protecting the water resources of the region. Thank you. If you have any questions, be happy to answer them. And if anybody ever wants to have a much more deeper conversation going through the history of what we did and all of the laws and regulations, we'd be more than happy to set anything up for that.
Thank you, James. Any council members have any comments or questions? Dan Van Apps?
Several. So, first of all, the over 16,000 affordable units, I assume that in these settlement agreements and plans, this was mostly builder's remedy, so you would expect another four market rate units for each affordable housing unit?
I would say, well, I can't really give you an accurate estimate, but yes, a lot of it was builder's remedy lawsuits, whether it be a set-aside of 10 or 20% affordable units, so you could see, yes, substantially more new units being constructed to supply those units.
Okay. Do we have a sense of where in the region, which municipalities, whatever, have the greatest mismatch between the build-out analysis that we did and the affordable housing settlements?
I do, yes. I do, but it would be probably a bit much to supply in this meeting, but I can certainly supply it to you.
I think that would be useful information to have. Are there any preservation area conflicts that we're seeing, or is this mostly in the planning area?
It's mostly in the planning area, but there are preservation area municipalities that have, you know, fairly substantial obligations because they saw historic growth, right? When they use historic demographics to predict what they need in the future. So if there was historic growth before the Highlands Act or through exemptions, that they would have obligations.
Okay. Seems like an exercise in futility, but whatever. And then my final question is, do we have any sense yet who and how, but who will be responsible for establishing the fourth round targets and how they will be apportioned?
So Judy Thornton went to the What's Next in Affordable Housing for the fourth round at the League of Municipalities, and the answer was nobody knows anything. So where there's a vacuum, obviously people are going to step in with their own agendas to try and, you know, identify what that priority is, and I think that's where we need to be at that table.
Right. Yeah, one could predict several years' worth of lawsuits just to figure out who's in charge. But we're not seeing anything from the state with regard to the Council on Affordable Housing being resurrected from the dead?
I know there's a lawsuit filed that is to be filed that will try to do that, but there's nothing seems to be on any legislative agenda or anything to do that.
The silence is deafening. Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Any other council members?
Yeah, who's the fisherman on our front page?
Who's the fisherman?
You've got one on there. I just want to go with
you. That's you. That's you, of course.
Is it you?
That's council member Doherty with a 5-pound bass.
I've got a quick question. Is there any way, as we enter this next round, that we can find a means of allowing rural communities to include in their calculation of existing affordable housing, farm labor housing? Right? That's been something that we've discussed. It's a policy for the State Agricultural Convention, and it seems like you've got an answer right away.
It's a good point. Yeah, it is a good point, Kurt, and right now you know that that's not permitted because it's not considered full-time housing, and that because there's a restriction on who can actually live there. But it's a valid point because it is such a big part of as you know, being able to run a viable farm, right? Having that labor on site and being able to provide housing for them is a big part of even having them present. So we would consider that as part of our recommendations. But whether or not that's something that can be actually moved forward legally, we don't know.
Right, and I would just suggest that in the past 2 decades, I've seen in the industry a huge transformation where, you know, what was the stereotypical bump-style housing that you might see in a large blueberry farm down in South Jersey is not what's present up here in the Highlands region. And what was seasonal has now become year-round because housing has become so incredibly expensive. A lot of companies who are seeking to attract good people, and I'm not talking about starting level people, I'm talking about good people, the affordability to move into this region is so challenged. If you're coming from outside the region, you have to have a house to provide somebody so they can get started. So there are people living in housing, not paying rent, that is provided by their employer, and it's not just an ag, that are supervisory and management level people. And, you know, is this housing that we should be including in the census of existing affordable housing? You know, I would argue that it should be, and I think that rural communities are being, I don't want to use the word discriminated against, but I don't think it's fair that this housing is not being considered. Because it exists.
No, it's a fair point, Kurt, and we are going to consider that as we evaluate this.
I know it's an uphill fight, but if we correlate the battle ground, bring all of our assets together, maybe we can get it over the top. Or we can identify what we need to do, right? You know, if we can identify that it's an executive order or if it does indeed require a legislative change.
You, because of the complexity of this, the potential for extreme amounts of litigation, everything just has to be done step by step, take it one step at a time. Because everything has to comply with all of the former decisions and laws and regulations, and at the same time, we're going to be moving into new territory that opens up the potential for us to be challenged. So that's why the first step is to prepare this plan, identify the policies of the council, and make sure each step is supportable as we go along.
Thanks.
Any other council members?
So
council member Van Epps?
I'd like to follow up on that because I agree with the stepwise approach, but we all should be good chess players and think 5 steps ahead, because at some point a municipality may adopt a fair share housing plan that complies with the Highlands RMP, does not comply with the fair share allocation that there's being handed, and that they will then be sued and look to the Highlands Council to support them in court for compliance with the RMP. So I think we should be thinking way out, a lot of what-if scenarios, and see how we would play that out and make it work.
Yes.
Any other council members? James, thank you.
This is
something that we, in my report now, I'm going to expand the Affordable Housing Committee. Right now, our council members that are on our Affordable Housing Committee are Chairman Vizioli and Bruce James. Council Member Walton was also on the committee. We haven't had much to do in the last couple of years, but after discussions with Ben and Chairman Vizioli, we decided that we need to expand that committee to 5 members. And I reached out to 2 of our council members who are presently mayors of their towns, and they're going to have to be dealing with this affordable housing coming up in the next couple of years. And that's Council Members Daugherty and Francis, and they have agreed to serve on this committee. So, and Bruce James has said he would continue also. So the 5 members will be Council Member Vizioli, Council Member James, Council Member Daugherty, Council Member Francis, and myself. And Council Member Vizioli will continue as the chairperson. And if we feel that we, I just was listening to Council Member Van Abs, and he has a very good grasp of this, so I'm going to speak to you about maybe taking my position. Okay? So we'll discuss that. So those are 5 at this time. Let's see. I just want to remind the council members that at our next meeting, our January meeting, is our annual election of vice chair and treasurer. So maybe you want to start campaigning or lobbying or whatever. We move on now to consideration of resolution. This is approval of the fiscal year 2023 Highlands Protection Fund capital budget for plan conformance funding grants. And I think that our chairperson of that committee, of the Budget and Finance Committee, Bob Holthway, is on the phone. Bob, would you like to introduce this resolution?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, thank you very much. The Budget and Finance Committee is recommending the approval of grants to 4 Highlands municipalities totaling $318,050. All grants are reimbursement-based, with final budgeted amounts to be determined by approved scopes of work. First is for Montvale Township. They are requesting a grant of $124,800 for a floodplain reconnection for enhanced groundwater recharge demonstration project. The floodplain reconnection will promote greater infiltration and recharge to the aquifer, supplying drinking water to the township residents. I personally think that this is a very important demonstration because we know how, after the drought, how important our aquifers are. Item number 2, the Township of Vernon is requesting a grant of $18,000 to repair an updated housing element and fair plant, as has been discussed. The Township of Vernon is also requesting a grant of $28,000 for an online marketing and branding plan to highlight their recreational assets to boost economic health and grow their tourism industry. Hiram Township is requesting a grant of $122,250 for a park improvement project. The township seeks to restore and upgrade various components of the park facility. The project will promote the use of low-impact development, best management practices, and stormwater management to protect ground and surface water quality. And lastly, Bethlehem Township is requesting a grant in the amount of $25,000 to conduct a planning feasibility study of the recently preserved Leaf Farm property, which is proposed to adapt to be used as a historic museum and farm site. Mr. Chairman, and I'd be pleased to move this resolution.
Okay, motion is moved by Council Member Holthway. We need a second.
I will second, Mr. Chairman.
Second by Council Member Vizioli. Council discussion? Yes, Council Member Van Abs.
I'm interested in a little bit more detail on the Montville project. I'm a great fan of floodplain reconnection. I'm a little uncertain as to the relationship of that to aquifer recharge, because floodplains are usually discharge areas for groundwater. So I'm curious as to how this plays out.
Kelly, why not?
We do have representatives of the consultants that's here in the town that can speak a little bit more to the technical nature of it, if you would like that.
Okay, when I was going to open it up for public discussion, but we can certainly open it to any consultants or anyone else from Montville. Would that be good for you at this time? Yeah, I was made aware that I kind of figured it was the three gentlemen sitting over there. They had M on their foreheads. So would you like to come up and please introduce yourself?
Yeah, hi, I'm over here. I'm Ben Sewell. We've been groundwater consultants at the township, I think, since 1995. So I'm dating myself a bit. Just to answer, Dan, your comment, this is in a recharge area. This is a flood, reconnecting a floodplain, but it's in a recharge area of the prime aquifer, which very quickly is the sole source aquifer for Mountville Township's three production wells. And it's what we call a constrained aquifer. It's about 1 square mile. The objective here is to put high quality water that's on the west side of I-287 and to encourage more recharge of high quality or low TDS water into the aquifer. So that's, and the methodology would be using natural materials, using these stream waddles that'll raise the water up and then spread the water out onto the floodplain. And it's a application we think will have other, I mean, it's a demonstration of other applications where you have entrenched streams that have entrenched themselves below where they can flood out and recharge groundwater.
So the west side of 287, so this is slightly uphill from the main valley area?
It's in the valley area. It's on the fringes of the valley area. Okay. geologically, it's a floodplain with high permeability glacial deposits.
Okay.
So it's connected.
Okay, great. Thanks, Vince.
Okay.
Any other council members have any questions for the consultant from Montville? No. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right. We had a motion and a second. And is there any other council members' discussion on this resolution? Seeing none, this is a voting matter with public comment. Would anyone else like to make a comment on on this resolution? And I see, you know, there's three of you from Montville. Would anyone else like to come up and talk about your grant proposal?
Sure.
You drove all the way.
Might as well, right? I'm not as technical as Vince as far as the aquifer recharge.
Introduce yourself.
David Kirkham, Director of Water and Sewer for Montville Township. But I do see the value, and I see a lot of the connection with the affordable housing. Coming into Montville 2 years ago, the affordable housing, there's a need for the resources, water and sewer treatment. So this really feeds into to all of the above as far as creating resources for the residents of the area. So that would be my perception of this, and I have to say that the more I hear about the Highlands Council, the more I'm impressed in what you do for the region.
Thank you. Listening to
certain things here that may benefit even what I'm doing with the affordable housing and capacities, one of them.
Thank you for your comments.
You.
Anyone else like to comment on this resolution? Seeing none, any further conversations from the council members? Okay. Yes,
he's gone.
All right, why don't you announce that?
There's no recusals on this motion. All members may vote on this motion.
Okay. All right, seeing no further discussion, please poll.
Councilmember Alstead.
Yes.
Councilmember Daugherty.
Yes.
Councilmember Dressler.
Yes.
Councilmember Francis.
Yes.
Councilmember Holtaway.
Aye.
Councilmember James.
Yes.
Councilmember Savatage.
Yes.
Councilmember Van Abs.
Yes.
Councilmember Vizioli.
Yes.
Councilmember Voden.
Yes.
Chairman Richko.
Yes. Good luck with your projects.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We have other business consideration of resolution. This is about open space partnership program extension of time. This is for County of Passaic. I don't think I have to say the block numbers and all that. This is in Wanakee Borough. Staff members, can you just let us know what this is all about?
Sure. So in 2020, the Highlands Council approved the award of a grant to this property as part of our open space program. It's for a rail trail in Wanakee. The project is being conducted by Passaic County, and they're asking for a 50% cost match. The approval expired on November 12, 2021. They're now ready to proceed, but before we can proceed, we need you to extend it. And we recommend a year just because of some of the difficulties with title issues and things like that on a rail trail.
And I guess we probably have a refusal on this.
Yes, Bruce right? James, you have to abstain from voting on this. You can listen, but you have to abstain from voting.
Don't say anything. Okay. we need a motion and a second on this resolution.
I'll move it.
Moved by Councilmember Van Abs, and we need a second.
I'll second.
Second by Councilmember Daugherty. Any discussion? I'll ask our attorney here. Is this a public comment on this resolution?
Yes.
Okay, so this is a voting matter with public comment. Would anyone like to address the council on this resolution? Seeing none, please poll.
Councilmember Alston.
Yes.
Councilmember Daugherty.
Yes.
Councilmember Dressler.
Yes.
Councilmember Francis.
Yes.
Councilmember Haltaway.
Aye.
Councilmember James. Okay, just recuse.
Yep.
Councilmember Savatage.
Yes.
Councilmember Van Abs.
Yes.
Councilmember Vizioli.
Yes.
Councilmember Bowden.
Yes.
Chairman Richko.
Yes.
Resolution passed.
We move on to old and new business. Do any council members have any old or new business?
Mr. Chairman, if I might, as chair of this subcommittee on affordable housing, I recognize we have a lot of work to do. And I'm sure the folks that are on the subcommittee recognize that as well. And my thinking right now, Mr. Chairman, is to have a kickoff meeting, if you will, this month, just to familiarize everyone with what's going on. I know the holidays are coming up and scheduling and what have you, but I think it's important enough that we do meet. So the only thing I'm going to ask of the committee members is to study this rascal, and I'll be contacting you to set up a date this month.
Okay.
Thank you.
You and I will discuss it and with Ben, and we'll come up with a date.
Yes.
Very good. Any other old or new business?
I want to follow up with Commissioner Vizioli on the affordable housing. Having been dealing with it for now 13 years, is very complicated. Complicated is really the word.
People from Montville are laughing.
So here's my question. My question is, the committees are great. However, who is the expert who's going to guide the committee on the questions that we're going to have?
The first thing that we need to do is that we want to be able to get the committee to authorize the issuance of the RFP so we can do the technical work to provide us with the background information so that we can get to that point
okay.
and we can actually make recommendations.
Oh. Okay. Very complicated.
Indeed.
And Councilmember Daugherty, in addition to that, Jason Kane and I are also can be available to the committee in terms of any legal issues that questions that may come up. We are certainly available to answer those questions.
Okay.
And Dan hired me because I knew a lot about affordable housing.
I've learned through trial and error a lot about affordable housing. And as you may know, Morristown's built a lot of affordable housing. However, we're constantly still being sued for 15 units, even though we don't have any obligation. It's crazy. It's very complicated.
It is a mess. Council Member Francis.
To say it complicated is an understatement on his best day. And so we have struggled in the borough of Paccon with that. We're a little bit smaller than Morristown, but the fact of the matter is we still have an obligation. And when you address this on behalf of the municipality to our people in the state, it's impossible. So we have a huge job to do with this, just to sort it out. Because the people who, whoever they are, in Trenton, who have crafted this, don't even know the answers. And so we have a really tough job, and start basic. I mean, you know, it's some basic definitions that we deal with, what's affordable, what's not affordable, and we have the same issue as Kirk pointed out. You know, we have a lot of affordable housing in our town, but the state won't recognize it. So what's the value of it? You know, what's really the purpose of it? And you know, are we fair to people that when we force feed affordable housing to a municipality, are we being fair to the town and fair to the people? And so there's a lot of fundamental issues and definitions that I look forward to achieving, and that's really going to help us. And then we get to the technical later, but the fundamentals are so important, and we learn that the hard way. So Tim is exactly right. This is
oh, it's going to be fun.
Yeah.
The one thing I'd like to point out that contained in the Highlands Act is if we get to the point where there are affordable housing plans that are consistent with the Highlands RMP, that the Highlands Act itself provides municipalities that are complying with the RMP an enhanced presumption of validity to their land use actions. And so that we would be able to have, because they're planning to a higher purpose, that their plans in general, but those plans that include a housing plan that includes an appropriate affordable housing element would then enjoy that enhanced defense legally to any challenge that comes up. Right. And that's our aim, is to get into that place where they've appropriately planned their town, the numbers appropriately assigned, the methodology of meeting their affordable housing obligation has been appropriately laid out, and that they would therefore then be, I don't want to say immune, but they would enjoy that enhanced presumption of
and I do appreciate that the executive director and chair are going down this route, because I brought this up many years ago, even to Eileen Swan, about the affordable housing component of the Highlands, and so I'm glad that you're going down this route.
Yes. Our job is going to be put something together that will be accepted. Yes. And you can have all the plans in the world. When you take it to the powers to be, it's got to be accepted. So we have to make sure we're pitch perfect when we do our presentation.
Very good. Thank you. Any other council members have anything under old or new business? Seeing none, we move on to the public comments. To ensure ample time for all members of the public to comment, we will respectfully limit comments to 3 minutes. Questions raised in this period may not be responded to at this time, but where feasible, will be followed up by the council and its staff. So anyone from the audience would like to comment? Yes, George?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is George Cassa. I am a resident of Tewksbury Township. And I would like to commend the council for its courage in deciding to take on this issue in the way that it has. I never thought I would see in print from another state agency the glaring problems that Mr. Humphreys has put together in his PowerPoint presentation. Not only does the Act impose an obligation to consider fair housing, it is also supplemented by Executive Order 114, which was also one of the 4 points in one of your first slides. When you put all that together with the math, which is obvious to anybody who has been tracking the problem, that the Highlands has been asked to accommodate essentially twice as much housing as it can really afford in terms of availability of land. I think the powers that be are now more in your hands than any other agencies has been at up to this point. The numbers that are causing or have caused the problem were developed as a result of a Fair Share Housing Center participation in a Supreme Court action, and the negotiations that went on there had everything to do with what Fair Share Housing, an advocacy group, believed was appropriate, and it had nothing to do, if you read the 2015 Supreme Court decision, with accounting for the fact that in the Highlands, most all of the numbers that were endorsed by Fair Share Housing and used as the basis for their negotiations could not be met. So again, I strongly commend and support the effort that you've discussed here today, and I'm curious to see if the presentation would be available to the public.
Yes, it will be posted after the meeting, and I'll send one to you directly.
All right. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you, George. Yes? Julia.
Julia Summers, New Jersey Highlands Coalition. Mr. Chairman, I have to say it's very strange not having the honorable opposition here. I was waiting for somebody to stand up and complain about the passage.
I was actually going to ask someone to sub.
Anyway, I'm going to run out of my 3 minutes, so I just wanted to say how refreshing and wonderful the executive director's report was. What a lot of things that you are working on. Really important things for the Highlands. And somebody's going to have to start providing him with energy pills or something, because I don't know how he's going to manage. And his staff, because I don't know how they're going to survive this. You hear them laughing, recognizing what I just said.
They're all shaking their heads, yes.
But I particularly want to thank Mr. Allstieg for his comments about forestry, because he's absolutely on point, except you missed one. Along with deer goes invasives. Our forests have been overtaken by invasives. And when we punch holes in our forests, we invite invasives and deer. So we really look forward to the work that you are doing, and we hope that it will apply to all of our public forests in the Highlands. And we will do everything we can to support that work. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Julia. Anyone else like to address the council? Seeing none, we need a motion to adjourn.
I vote.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Those opposed?
Good adage.
Yeah. Thank you all for coming out today. Thank you. Yes, sir.